to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope that you are feeling God's presence this morning as well. I just want to say I am so excited that those of you that are here in the building that we're able to worship together, and I'm really excited that we have an online audience that is able to connect with the church and maybe even if you're watching this online even right now, it may be that you're just kind of checking out a church, right? Because you're not really sure if you really want to like be here for it. I'm just telling you right now, it's different when you're here. It's different. And so I'm so thankful that we get to worship together and put our whole self into it. Again, my prayer is that God would sanctify the sanctuaries at home that get to worship with us, even as He is sanctifying this place of worship as well. And I hope that you've come ready to hear from God this morning. You know, Pastor's up to something when he starts bringing props in, right? And so today we're going to continue on in our sermon series through the book of Ephesians. Today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn there, and we'll get to that here in just a minute. What we've been doing throughout this whole series is talking about the fact that Paul is talking to the Ephesian church, and he's telling them that Jews aren't the only ones who get to be saved by Jesus and get to put their faith in Jesus. Like, Gentiles get to be in as well. And so the good news for all of us is that when we put our faith in Jesus, like we get to be in as well. You're in because of your faith in Jesus, not even because of your spiritual history and all that kind of stuff, right? On the very first week that we got into this whole series, we jumped into Ephesians chapter 2, and we looked at how Jesus tore down that dividing wall of hostility, specifically between the Jews and the Gentiles. But we recognize that there are some dividing walls that are up even in our lives here today, right? And praise God that He was able to bring them down. Now, this is where the illustration kind of comes in here a little bit, because I started something last week with this whole idea of the difference between being spectators and actually being participants. And then I got done with the sermon, and like throughout the week I was like, man, wouldn't it have been awesome if we could like actually like show somehow what that would look like. And so this is the best representation that I can do for that. I want you to imagine with me that what we have here is just a big screen TV. It's all right. It's just that my budget doesn't allow for an actual big screen TV. So you just have to use your sanctified imagination with me today, all right? That's all right. And the reality is, and even as we talked about in week one of this sermon series, as we were looking at Ephesians chapter 2, many of us see ourselves as spectators, that we are in our favorite lazy boy, right? And we just get to watch what is happening with God, that we get to see what God is doing in other people's lives. And so from the outside looking in, maybe because of history with the church that wasn't good, and so we don't really want to be a part of that, or maybe we just feel like we've made some choices in our lives that weren't good and weren't in line with the Bible, and we know that, and so we've got guilt that keeps us from that. Whatever it is, for some reason, there's a lot of times where we just see ourselves as spectators, that God is doing something somewhere, and we're just watching it on the big screen here, as if all we can do is just sit here. But the good news is that we learned in Ephesians chapter 2 is that dividing wall of hostility has actually been torn down. So we don't have to be stuck in our lazy boy anymore. We actually get to come around and be on the field of play. Like, we get to be the ones that other people are watching. We get to be the ones that other people see God moving through. We get to be the ones who experience His grace and see His healing, like, in ourselves. We are the ones that get to walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have to just stay on this as a spectator. We get to participate in that because Jesus died on the cross in order to forgive our sins, that we might have a relationship with the Father, even if we're not Jewish first, right? And that's good news. That's good news, because that means that no matter how long we've been a spectator, because of the grace of Jesus, we are allowed to engage in the field of play. We're able to walk by faith and not by sight in Him. Well, in week 2, we got into Ephesians chapter 3. And there we got to discover that when you're in, right, when you're no longer just a spectator, but you're in the game, like you're on the field, right? You are participating there. When you're in, you also have some responsibilities, right? And so we talked about how, you know, spiritual gifts and just general responsibilities that belong to every believer in Jesus Christ, that we would follow what he's calling us to do. And even as Paul said to the Ephesian church, that God had given him instruction to pass along to all of the church, which is to make known the manifest wisdom of God to the rulers and principalities of this dark world, right? Like we as a church, all of us are a part of that. But we also have specific spiritual gifts in which we get to use to carry out that general responsibility of sharing the good news with others, right? So, as we are here in the field of play, and as we see other people looking at us, the others that are still spectators that are watching what God is doing in us and what we are doing for and with God, we need to recognize that those gifts are ways that we can point back to the spectators and say, hey, like, you can be here as well. Like, Jesus died for you too. Like, those gifts are not just so that we can feel good about ourselves, but they're a tool, they're a measure by which we can use in order to call others out of darkness and into the light of Jesus Christ. Now then, today we get into Ephesians chapter 5. And what we're going to discuss today, what we're going to jump into here, is that when you're in, you are to conduct yourself in a certain way, right? Like, for example, like if I'm a spectator, then I can sit here in my pajamas. I can have my little TV tray and everything with all my sodas and my popcorn and my pistachios and my cream soda and everything. Y'all got to show up at my house for an Ohio State game. It's a great thing. Anyway, I'm not in my pajamas. I'm always in my jersey. Don't you worry. All right. So, you can do whatever you want. You can eat ice cream. Like you can get up, go to the bathroom whenever you want to, right? Like when you are a spectator, you can do kind of whatever you want to do. But when you are actually like on the field of play, now there are expectations for your life that the coach, we'll call him God, actually has for you. And so you can't just do whatever you want whenever you want. You can't just have whatever you want however you want to know. Now there are expectations for your life. And if you are going to live this Jesus life, then we've got to live it in a certain way. And so today what we're going to do is look into like what is the instruction that Paul has for the church in Ephesus as to how it is that they are to live. What is this certain way that he's talking about with them? And hopefully we can learn a couple of things for ourselves as well. Let me pray, and then we'll jump into Scripture. God, thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your word today. I thank you, God, that you are here right now. I thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for the stirring that's already happening. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus that my words would be your words. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak in a powerful way, God, that all of us would hear your voice and respond by faith to you, Father. May your message alone be conveyed and received and acted upon for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So let's jump into this here, Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verses 1 and 2. So again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." See, once we are reborn as children of God, then we have to follow the example of our Father, right? There's not another option there. We no longer get to decide how it is that we are going to act, but rather when we submit our lives to God through a relationship with Jesus, we are also submitting our control of our choices and our behavior to God and to His example, to the Father's example in our lives. In John chapter 8, verses 42 through 44, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I've not come on my own, God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father," watch this now, "you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." I just bring this verse up to let you know that we all have a father. This Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, by the way, to the religious leaders of this day. He was speaking to people who thought that God was their father, but what he was telling them is that your father is determined by the actions that you carry out. Your father is determined by the person that you submit to. And what Jesus was acknowledging to the Pharisees here was that they were submitting themselves to their actions were actually being carried out in submission to the devil, not in submission to the Father. What that means is, even though they may claim the Father, their actual father was the devil himself because of their actions. This is really important for us to get, because what this means is that we have expectations from our Father as to how it is we are to live. And when we are not living according to those expectations, then we cannot imagine and just believe for ourselves that it doesn't really matter how we act or how we behave. The reality is that Jesus was telling the Pharisees here, it absolutely matters how you behave. It absolutely matters how you act. And when you act in a way that is not in accordance with God's will, then there's only one other option for who is your Father. Now, I would think that most of us would say, oh, like, I don't want the devil to be my father. Okay, that's good. We're on the same page. I don't want the devil to be your father either, which is why we need to dig into this idea of what is it then that are the expectations of people that are following God through relationship with Jesus. Like, what ought that to look like? Like, what is the example of the Father that we have to follow? If you remember from last week, people who are not submitting to God through relationship with Jesus are submitting to the rulers and the authorities and the principalities of darkness, right? And that is the devil. That is the demonic influence that is in and around our lives. And we have to tell the world, we have to tell those who may find themselves as spectators still, the manifold wisdom of God in order that they might be set free, that they might recognize that this dividing wall is no longer there for them, and that they can be made new in Jesus Christ. Amen? When you're in, your life matters. And it matters how you live. Let's continue on here. Ephesians chapter 5, continuing on in verse 3. It says, "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." See, well, there's a lot in here, and I wish I had time to actually break down sort of every verse in this. But what is important for us to recognize here is that Paul is hitting so many different areas just in these few verses here. And we have to recognize that the way that we handle relationships has to change when we move from spectator and being outside of that relationship with God through Christ. And once we're in, the way that we handle relationships has to change. The way that we handle money has to change. The way that we handle our time has to change. The way that we talk to people has to change. The way that we listen to people has to change. Like who we listen to has to change. We just have to recognize that when we're here, we get to pick the channel, and we get to pick the snacks, and we get to pick the schedule, and we get to decide what we're going to record and what we're not going to record. When we're over here, the coach tells us what we're going to do and what plays we're going to run and what jersey we're going to wear and when we got to show up and what time the game is going to be. Our job is not to tell God who we're going to be and what we're going to do. Our job is to say, Lord, I don't want to be that anymore. I want to be yours. I want to be made new in you. I don't want the guilt that is over here as a spectator. I want to be set free through this relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that when I was making choices, it led me to nothing good. Lord, I submit all of my choices to you, which means everything has to change. Everything has to change. Not just Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. Hey, hear your pastor right now. I'm not saying I don't want you here Sunday morning. You didn't hear me say that, right? So if you catch me on Facebook next week and you'd be like, oh, pastor said I didn't even got to be there Sunday morning. That's not what I said at all right? But what I am saying is more has to change than where you are on a Sunday morning. More has to change than whether you thank God for your food. Again, you didn't hear me say don't thank God for your food. I'm just saying there's got to be more to it than that. There is more to this walk of faith. There's more to being in than just showing up. Come on, somebody. You're going to make me preach another half an hour if you don't help me out with this now. You got to recognize, when you're over here, you can do whatever you want to do because you have not submitted to the authority of God in your life. And so you might as well just let your father, the devil, just lead you into whatever you want to. But when you decide, you know what, this is not leading me anywhere but to hell, and I don't want that for my life, then you get to be in. And when you're in, everything has to change. We don't get to pick and choose. Come on, it's all right. I'll say amen for you. It's all right. We don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to say, well, I'll go this far, but not that far, right? Everything has to change. We can't do the things that the spectators do and still be in. See, because the reality is that if we're not doing what players do, if we're not doing what God is telling us to do, then the reality is we're probably not actually on the team. The reality is we're probably sitting here in our chairs telling everybody we're on the team, but we're still flipping channels trying to figure out what we like the most, right? That is not the life of victory. That is not the life of freedom and peace that God has for you. No, he has great things for you, but it doesn't happen by sitting in the chair watching other people do great things through God. It happens as you submit yourself to him in every single way. Now, again, I feel like I need to pull back just a little bit. I know I get a little excited sometimes, but I do want you to hear me clearly in this. No one is born knowing how to do all this stuff. No one's born knowing how to be a disciple of Jesus. I don't care, and I say this all the time, I probably need to come up with a different illustration here, but a lot of times I'll say, I don't care if you were born in the nursery. I realize how gross that is, but you know what I mean. Like no matter how long you have been connected with God's church, we all have to learn how to follow Jesus, right? However, the Holy Spirit, God's holy word, and his holy church are all here to help us succeed now that we're in, right? And the Holy Spirit is here as our guide. God's word is here as our truth, and God's church is your disciple-making family that all can help us grow closer to him. And now I get it. I know that there's a lot of people who have been a part of some other churches that have not been healthy. And I know you could probably share with me stories for days about how some experiences did not go according to how the Lord would probably want them to be. And I I get that, and I'm not diminishing any of that. I recognize all of those things are real. But now that you are part of Houston First Church of God, like, I just want you to know that you can trust God's Holy Spirit. You can trust God's Holy Word, and you can trust God's Holy Church to come alongside you and to encourage you and to love you and to bless your life. And if your experience, I better set this down for a second. If your experience is anything different than God's Holy Church coming alongside you and loving you and encouraging you and blessing your life, if your experience is anything different than that here in this house, you come talk to me. Because as the leader of this family, I can't handle that. That is not what God has called us to be. And so I mean that in all seriousness. I recognize there are some people who have really been hurt by the church. And I'll be honest with you. In my past, there are people that have been hurt even by me. We are all fallen people, right? I'm not saying that you found a perfect church. We are not a perfect church, but I will tell you this. If there is something that has happened that is not what you would expect God's family to live like and to be like, you come talk to me because we got some spiritual things we got to work through. You need to be able to trust God. You need to be able to trust His Word, and you need to be able to trust His church. And if there's anything that is keeping you from doing that, then my fear is that it's also going to keep you in the chair. And it's going to keep you from making that decision to say, you know what, I'm tired of this. I want to get in. I don't want anything to keep you from being in a relationship with God. So I mean it. Like, I'm not even playing. Like, if there's ever a time that this church is not acting like God's church, then you need to tell me. Because I want to stick up for you. Where was I again? That being said, this is where I was. That being said, some people just want to be spectators. Can we just be honest? Like, hey, I'm a fight for you. I realize, like, if you're growing in your faith and you're trying to grow, I recognize that it's not going to happen overnight, and we're going to come alongside you, and we're going to help disciple you, and we're going to encourage you and everything like that. But the reality is, some people just want to be spectators. And so if you just want to be a spectator, we probably need to have a conversation about that too, right? Because there's good news. There's such good news that I really want you to receive. I really want to bless your life with, right? And so we just have to recognize that there are expectations for what it means to be in. And just because we say we're in doesn't mean we're living like we're in. And if we're not living like we're in, then the reality is we may not actually be in. We may still be spectating, just flipping channels, waiting to find one that looks like something that we might want. And that's not submission to God. Let me keep going here. Help me, Lord. Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Whew, see, now this is the question that we really have to wrestle to the ground. What is it that pleases the Lord? Am I trying to please the Lord? Oh, I hope that messes with you all day. I hope that keeps you up tonight. I hope that ruins your whole lunch, actually. Like, I do. I hope you get to thinking about that so much you ain't even hungry anymore. Like, I just, like, are we really trying to please God? Or are we just trying to hold on to the remote still? You know what I'm saying? Spectators aim to please themselves, right? Because again, they can decorate however they want to. They can watch whatever team they want to. I mean, I don't know why they'd watch anything other than the Ohio State University, but I mean, I'm sure other people, I mean, A&M or UT or nobody's watching the Texans anymore, but you know what I mean, like, probably Dallas, I don't know, whatever, you know what I'm saying, like, but you get to pick, even if you want to watch the Texans, I don't know why, but feel free, I guess, it's your TV, right, you get to do it. When you're a spectator, you get to pick, right? But when you're in with God, like, it's not about pleasing you anymore, right? It's about accomplishing the mission. It's about pleasing our Father. It's about pleasing the coach who's given us the place to accomplish the mission of winning the game. What that means is that we don't, it's not about pleasing us. In fact, and here's what's interesting. Oh, I'm so out of time for this illustration. I'm going to tell it anyway. There was a whole line of NFL commercials years ago. I don't even remember how long it was. And there was basically the tagline was, you couldn't make it in the NFL, right? You couldn't make it. And so one of the commercials that was probably my favorite was there was a huge guy who was sitting on sitting on the end of a table or whatever like that, and his finger was dislocated. And I mean, it was just like 90 degree angle, whatever, right? It was TV. It's all right. And this trainer comes over and he's just like, boop, puts it back. And the guy was like, thanks. And he walks off. There was like a normal looking guy next to him who is watching this happen, and he passes out. Just hits the floor, right? And the tagline comes in, you couldn't make it in the NFL, right? But, and I think it was like a cable commercial, but you can watch every game or whatever like that. It was really stupid. But the point is that when you're in, it's not that it's just not about what you want, but it's about the fact that you will endure all kinds of stuff in order to accomplish the mission. Over here, it's all about please me. What do I want? Like, what do I need you to do for me? Like, how do I need you to make sure that the cable's working, and I need you to make sure that my favorite game is on my TV. Like, I need you to make sure that my groceries are in the pantry. Like all that needs to be done for me. But over here, not only might I not have those things, but I am willing to endure those things that I don't want in order to accomplish the mission with all of God's people in submission to God. See, and this is why the gospel sounds crazy to people who are still spectators, because it's like, why would I want to give up control? And the reason is because your control is not good. Like, I don't know about you, but I know me pretty well. I've been knowing me for a long time now, actually. And every time I'm in control, it does not go well. And every time I submit to him, even when I don't even know what's coming next, he just has a way of working things out. Even when I don't like what he's taking me through. You see what I'm saying there? Like, I don't mind going through a little bit of pain. I don't mind having to be patient sometimes. I mean, for the most part, you know what I'm saying, right? I don't mind struggling through some things. I don't mind interceding in prayer. I don't mind having to be with people and helping them out. I don't mind loving on people, even though sometimes them people are a little hard to love. Don't look at anybody right now, because they're going to know it's them, right? I don't mind doing those things, because I know that there's something bigger that God is accomplishing, not only in my life, but through my life, right? And so I would never want to go back to being a spectator, because over there it was just all about me. But when I'm here, I get to make a difference for the kingdom of God. How amazing is that? That as messed up as I am, I get to make a difference for the kingdom of God. See, when you're in, your goal is now one goal: please God. And our goal is to figure out how to please God. Verse 10 is my favorite in all of this. And in fact, I'm just going to stop now. The worship team, come on back up here so I don't keep talking. Verse 10, though, it says, find out what pleases the Lord. Now, here's what's interesting about that. That means that it's not just going to pop up into your face all by itself. You got to find out what pleases the Lord. you got to go looking for it. You got to be intentional about it. You can't just be going through life and just assume that you're going to trip over what pleases God, like that you're going to accidentally please God. I just want you to know we all have what is referred to in the Bible as a sin nature. In other words, we were born into sin. And what that means is that we all have this inclination, if you will, to be tempted and to turn away from God and to walk away from God and to try to do things ourselves and be spectators because, man, doesn't it just feel good to be a spectator, right? But what we have to do is we have to find out what pleases God in order that we might be able to live in the full purpose and destiny that He has for us. That means we've got to stop sitting and flipping channels, and we've got to go across that barrier that's already been destroyed for us in order that we might submit ourselves to God alone, in order that He might show us the way that we need to conduct ourselves. We can't just live any way that we want to live. We have to be submitted to Him. So we're going to sing a couple of songs here, and as we do, I just want to ask you, how are you finding out what pleases God? Maybe even as we sing these songs, you need to ask yourself, am I even interested in pleasing God? Or am I more interested in holding on to the remote control so that I can flip the channels to find something that I like? Because I'm not really interested in sacrifice, and I'm not really interested. Are you interested in pleasing God? Is it your desire to please God? And what is it that you might be willing to do to no longer be a spectator, but to really submit yourself to Him? Is today the day that you realize, you know what? This spectator thing ain't that great after all. It's nice having popcorn and being able to find the game that I want, but at the end of the day, I still go to bed without purpose and without hope. Like, wouldn't it be awesome for you to be able to engage the mission of God through His kingdom, for His glory, that you, broken and messed up as you are, broken and messed up as I am, we get to be a part of something that changes the world around us, that literally changes the people around you. Not because you are great, but because God's grace is amazing. And as we submit ourselves to God through relationship with Jesus, you can share that manifold wisdom of God with those that are still living as spectators, that they can come to be made new through a relationship with Jesus Christ as well. You can be a part of that. So I want to invite you to stand with me now, if you would. And as we sing, I want to encourage you to ask yourself that question. Do I really want to please God? How am I seeking out to please God? What is it that is keeping me from pleasing God? What are the things in my life that are not pleasing to God? What are the ways that I'm holding on to that remote control instead of just letting go and submitting to Him fully? The way we live matters. You get to be in. Jesus died on the cross for you. Your sins can be forgiven. You can walk in His purposes. You can be made brand new today by accepting Jesus as your Savior and believing that He is the one that God has sent in order that we might all be saved. Like you can receive that today. The question is, like, are you ready to go after it? Will you find out what pleases the Lord? Lord God, we ask that right now you would speak into our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to hear from you. Stir us with the leading of your Holy Spirit. God, help us to respond to you in faith, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.